Let's fuck you.
Let's fuck you. Let's fuck you.
Good harmony right there.
We're getting better.
Yeah. We got a ton.
By the 10th episode, we're going to be just like this amazing barbershop quartet.
It might just turn into maybe an acapella podcast?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Might have to, yeah.
We're just sing the whole time. Desecration Demon!
Yeah, so welcome to List for Cubes. I think it's episode 5. Is that what we're on?
Yes,
episode 5.
Or 6.
5.
I think it's 5. 5 sounds pretty legit.
I think it's 5.
I think so too. The most organized.
Yeah. Stretch for time. Stretch for time early.
5 or 6.
Anyway. So, yep. Last time.
Let's do intros first.
Yeah, alright, good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Sam Landry.
I'm Pete Landry.
I'm Al Shute.
Cool. Yeah. And, yeah. Anyway, right. Back to what we're talking about.
Last time we talked about the last couple cards that we cut from our cube. This time we're talking about cards that were added recently to the MTGO, Magic the Gathering Online, Modo, whatever you want to call it, cube that they have on their site, on their system, program, yep. Game.
Platform.
I like that.
Interface?
Service.
Experience.
Service, yeah. As a software.
Their online experience.
Lifestyle choice.
Software. Servicing right. The community.
Yes. one draft at a time.
Long story short, they have a cube online, and for a lot of people, it's the only cube that they know.
Yeah.
Right?
It's sad.
You're out in the Midwest, mm-hmm. You've never heard a cube out there.
You back on the farm. Internet,
and
yeah.
You're just ready to play Magic.
I just got this internet.
It was between that or Mormir Vig, and I decided I was going to go with the cube.
Pa, I don't like that Mormir Vig.
I don't like the randomness.
Now that we've alienated the Midwest, we can talk for real.
About how much we love
the all right, ocean states. Listen in.
I push you away because I love you. Midwest. Anyway, so yeah, what we were thinking is we were all going to go around. We've looked at it. Everyone's had some time at this point to play with it. Didn't they do an online draft over the weekend? They did like some kind of... They had like the pros versus the...
Oh, they did
like,
the community thing.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but it sounded fun.
It was you fun watch to watch. It? Yeah.
Who won that?
People. Community. The community.
Everybody won. Magic won.
They had that Ross guy on the team, so it was just like,
Ross?
The one who does all the
oh,
good...
Boss Ross?
Boss Ross, yeah, so it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not to discredit anyone else from the community.
Oh, I know, like, a couple of the Wizards guys were pro players at one point.
Right, yeah, exactly. But, anyway, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, right.
It seemed like
it'd be fun.
It was very laid back compared to a lot of the coverage that they have usually.
That's
over
cool.
The weekends.
Nice change of pace.
Right. So anyway, a lot of people are more familiar at this point with the cube. They've seen cards pop up. They've seen them play well. They've seen what they do.
Did they use an exact list that they're going to have?
They played it online. Everyone had laptops, and they were playing and like watching over each other's shoulders, and like
that's kind of weird.
It's like they were playing Magic online at a LAN party.
Yeah, it was basically a LAN party.
Yeah, all right, that works. Yeah.
But even then, like when you watch a lot of players, and I think it's probably because it wasn't like professional players for the most part,
right.
But like they'd be playing and someone would win and they'd all laugh, you know, instead of just shaking and shuffling up and everything. It was nice just to like
yeah.
It seemed like a more, you know, I would like to play Magic with any of those people. It looked a lot of fun.
Cool.
Anyway, so any people know more about the cube at this point, and us as people who build cubes, we've had a lot of time to test cards and see cards that work and don't work, and there's some red flags that we saw the minute they added them to the cube, or even just they've been in there all along, or they've
yeah.
been recent, or whatever, and we just wanted to kind of talk about three each that are terrible, terrible choices for the cube. And why we think they're terrible choices. And for each and every single one of them, Sam is going to come up with a replacement.
Oh, boy.
He promised.
I promise this.
There were two kids in an orphanage. They were like, please, Sam, today on your podcast, can you knock a baseball out of the park for us? And he was like, I don't do that.
I don't play baseball, actually.
Please,
do you know what magic is, children? Do you know what baseball is, more importantly?
We don't know magic. We're in an orphanage.
They can't afford that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying their lives have gone horribly.
Oh, I see, yeah.
That was my mean joke.
Why, is it because they play Magic?
Well, because they're in an orphanage. Their parents don't.
Oh, yeah, right. Are these, like, dead parents? Or are they, like, drug parents?
I don't know.
So
I don't know. You was your orphanage.
I looked down for a second, and what the hell are you guys talking about?
Oh, nice cannonball, Lisa. Pretty much, yeah.
Alright, well, to circle back, the big updates on the Modo Cube as well were in an article where they went through and kind of justified a lot of the cuts they made.
Yes.
So they cut out some archetypes. Mm-hmm. They were adding some new things. They were updating, and they making this grandiose display of, you know, all this changing in and out.
Forward and better.
Yeah, and so reviewing the list of cuts that they made, there were a lot of legitimate, should cut that, why were you running that cards?
Totally.
And then we were seeing that they were still, wait, why are you still running these? How did they survive the cuts? Mm-hmm. So they cut a lot of Storm cards, but they're still running a lot of cards that we were looking at and be like, how would you even look at this?
They're only there purely to enable Storm right. in some situations.
Yeah, but I mean, but they certainly cut cards that are like actually good cards too, as true. Well. Remember, like, so I don't forget the exact cards I was looking at, but it's just like, oh, come on. Oh, the big one was just cutting Inferno Titan for Soul of Shandalar.
Yeah, like, so Shandalar's not terrible in a limited deck.
But Inferno Titan is just...
so much better.
Yeah, I don't need to explain why Inferno Titan is better than Soul Shandalar.
Arg, my rage.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, it's... this is the only cube that people can draft online. It might... their friends... people's friends might not have cubes. We're pretty lucky.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
There's cubes coming out the ears around mm-hmm. on our playgroup. But
Midwest,
like,
orphanages.
Yeah, in the Midwest,
no cube. And orphanages.
It's online, and why does it have to have crappy cards in it just because Wizards puts it out there?
It's yeah. sad, honestly.
All like, our cards are beautiful. We have to play them all in the cube.
They're all individual little beautiful ducklings, or whatever they are. They're all animals, either way.
They are ducklings, right?
Yeah. Falling into storm drains.
There's going to be a lot of catty banter in this episode, I think, just purely...
just a lot of hate.
Yeah.
Just a lot of, like, just disgust and anger, and...
it's a roast. I would say
it's a roast episode. I like it.
The Moto roast.
R.I.P. Greg Giraldo. He won't be here.
Yes. So anyway, what we're gonna do is we're gonna go around one at a time. We're gonna name them. I already covered it. You guys rewind the episode of the podcast if you don't remember what we're doing.
I just want to say real quick, like, it's not like the Cube is awful. They do run, like, I think all the standard
Cuban is Cuban.
Yeah, exactly.
Good old fashioned Cuban.
Yep. Like, you're gonna open packs with Umazawa's Jets, Jace, your favorite Planeswalker is, you know, all the weapons, yep. whatnot. They're there.
No Power 9.
No Power 9, but, like, they do have the Holiday Cube when it is there, but yeah, no Power 9.
Ain't no
Holidays
right now.
No. But, it's just that when you have unlimited resources and you're literally printing digital cards, you shouldn't be running some of these cards. It's just, like...
to go back to what Al was saying for a second, one of the big points that they were grandiosely making... was no more trap cards. We don't want any cards that will trap a drafter into some kind of situation where their deck doesn't work.
One of those poor Midwestern drafters.
I ain't never
they
seen
don't it. Know anything, do they?
They don't know what a trap is.
They hold a bow, it's not traps, that's why.
What?
In the Midwest, they bow hunters, not trap hunters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alright. That makes sense.
Now, if they're gonna bow a card away, they'd be all over that.
So keep the whole trap situation in mind, Midwest, about when we go into this whole story, and our lists.
Do you eventually want to do a sample pack? Sorry to cut
No, you. I think we're...
do you have a sample pack primed, ready to
yeah.
go?
Oh. I have one up right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Sample pack. Is this the Moto sample pack?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh yeah, okay, so even better, we're gonna do a pack straight from the horse's mouth.
Yep. In the barn.
Right.
With yep. the cows and the sheep.
So someone had the great idea of uploading the Moto Cube onto Cube Tutor, so we can just draft it, simulate draft it.
We're not going to do one of those.
Pay tickets and money.
Right.
And really dissect the picks and see what archetypes are there and what aren't.
We're just going to look at the first.
Yeah, so we're just going to do a sample pack here, though. Not going to sit through a whole Cube Tutor draft.
That you can't see.
Right, that you can't see, that we probably won't even mention all the cards.
We're going to say each card individually every time it comes up.
Okay, so here is the pack. We have Aphrios, God of Passage. One, white and a black, indestructible as long as you're
yep, yep.
with a white and blah blah blah. Look it up if you don't know what it is. Hallowed Fountain, Serum Visions, Prophetic Bolt, Gnarled Scarhide, Burning of Xinyi, Night Vale Spectre, Iona, Shield of Ameria, Cunning Spark Mage, Jungle Shrine, Ranger of Eos, Arid Mesa, Red Elemental Blast, Boon Seder, and Avalanche Riders.
Seven. There are six cards in this pack that I would never run in the cube, at minimum.
Let's not worry about that, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, right off the bat, there are just six cards, I'm just like, these are just...
so, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
sorry if I'm really loud here.
big mixed bag here. I'm glad we got a pack like this that isn't you know.
There's no obvious pick.
Yeah, right. There's no first pick.
There's a lot of average, and there's a lot of niche.
Yep, and there's a few.
And picks. There's some clunkers.
Yeah. Mm,
definitely some clunkers.
Like Red Elemental Blast, what are you doing here?
Yeah. That's not
you're not supposed to be in a queue.
That's going straight into a sideboard somewhere.
Blue's really hard to play again. I don't like playing blue.
I don't know about Cunning Spark Mage either.
Yep, Cunning Spark Mage.
I think it's the best, if you're going to do a pinger, if you have to have a pinger in your cube, I think Cunning Spark Mage is the best choice.
I like Fire Slinger slightly more, but you I mean, even then, not really. Like,
I don't think it's worth having a pinger in your cube.
Yeah.
Because they all suck.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Anyway, my choice would probably be Burning of Zinni in this situation. It's kind of a build around me. It could fail miserably.
Yeah.
But it's Wildfire, and I don't think a lot of people expect Wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And the other option would be play it safe and take the Arid Mesa, just because I know I could probably play it at some point.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And then third pick, sorry. I'm sorry.
You're
Ranger of Eos. Because it's pure card advantage if you get the aggro deck.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a mini tutor up your two best one drops, put them right into play afterwards because they're going to be cheap and you can do whatever you want with them. Or it's a combo thing if you want to kind of get crazy. I don't know if there is any combo potential with it. Get your ramp elves if you need it. It's just a good card, versatile. Not good enough to play in a queue, but I think that when you're drafting this queue, you can get away with picking a lot of goofy ass stuff because most stuff is below average anyway. Yeah. In this queue. Mm-hmm. But
like
I don't want
Rangers, fine. But I don't think it's. I wouldn't be happy picking. I'd probably take Hollowed Fountain over Ranger. I'd probably take Arid Mesa since I don't like. I'm not the biggest fan of burning decks in this queue because the artifact support is really awful. So
gotcha.
I think I'd probably go Arid Mesa, and then maybe take Burning, and then maybe Hollowed Fountain. Burning and Hollowed Fountain are pretty close for me.
Yeah, this is a. This is kind of a flopper of a pack.
Yeah.
I might just go Boonsader, which is pretty solid. Only green card in the pack.
Yeah, cut it off.
So, cut it off early. But
that's true.
Things like Burning, really fun.
I get that there's no artifact support for the mana, really, but there's still tons of Planeswalkers. There's tons of guys that have more than four toughness. I don't, like, playing it on turn six isn't terrible. And I don't, there's plenty of ramp in green, so I wouldn't mind going red-green and just being like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and the artifact ramp is there, and you can prioritize it when you have that card.
Yeah.
I mean, prior to taking
I just like burning.
Yeah, me too. But I also, this pack is just so awful. Otherwise, I have no problem staying open and just, like, seeing what gets passed to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Really not banking on playing much of anything from this pack. Just kind of, like, take a flyer on it. I found in the drafts that I was doing on Cube Tutor is that a lot of times you end up with a lot of janky cards that you couldn't use, and I found myself like scraping together playables to throw in.
Yeah.
Only happy maybe one out of three times with the card pool that I got, because there would be so much that's just unplayable.
You is this only with the Moto Cube you're talking about?
Yeah. Keep in mind that like they probably don't have the best algorithm set up for that one yet. It's probably not drafted as much.
True.
And people are always a little bit more crafty than a robot so far.
Definitely. But I'm just saying, like, considering that probably all the best cards, you know, get taken.
Yeah.
I didn't see any weird bombs way late, so just kind of like what's left over at the end of a pack, you can get stuck with a lot of
junk. I bet, yeah.
You're just not going to fit your deck because of two colors. It's not what you're doing. It's,
it's such a big cube, too.
It's a red elemental blast. It's
I mean, again, that's not the worst, but it's like really not what you want to be picking, like, at any point, I feel. Like, I'm only taking red elemental blast if I'm in red and I have no other pick in the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm
so
not
that's the worst.
Yeah, it's. I guess it is the worst.
I would probably hate draft something over that.
No, I mean, there'll be games where, like, that card, you're going to bring it in. You know, if you're playing, like, a blue deck, like, you're going to bring that card in. So it's fine. But, like, that's one color. You're going to bring the card in again.
It's for that one red deck to beat that one blue deck.
Yeah, I don't even get why you're running Red Elemental Blast. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, do you really need to hose blue that bad?
I would argue you don't need to run any sideboard cards for any situation at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think largely sideboard cards are awful, and I think this is one of the worst ones, too. Just hosing literally one specific color. Like,
but just once.
Just once, yeah. It's not even over and over again. Like, if there's, like, a counterbalance version of this.
Like, what is it, Boil?
Like, yeah, Boil's sweet.
Just fuck your islands. Just,
yeah, I'll why take not? That.
That would be so much better.
I would take that every day of the week over that, because at least, like, it's permanent. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, this is...
You're playing Cube. You want the best of the... So if you're going to have hate cards... Put the best Kate cards in. Put Karma in if you're playing white.
I guess, like, the biggest argument is that, like, you're never going to expect red counterspell. So there is that.
Once.
Yeah. And then you're never playing, and then you're playing around it forever after that. Yeah.
That's like how it is with Forspike. You know, you don't play around Forspike once.
Yeah, but thank God Forspike is not like
counter
target white spell unless you pay one.
Right, of course. Forspike's amazing.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's a lot better than Elemental Blast.
Yeah.
I feel like a big part of like their cube design is they look at Legacy and things like that a little too closely, and they're like, oh, this card is actually really good there. Like, it's a really great sideboard card there, so why wouldn't get, oh, Cube is the Legacy version of drafting, you know, whatever. Like, why don't we play Elemental Blast?
One other thing I will bring up in their defense is, you'll see it in every place that a Cube community pops up, whether it be Reddit or MTG or Riptide or whatever. Someone says that this card is amazing, and then someone else is like, really, I have basically the same list as you, except for a few cards here and there, and we hate that card.
Yeah.
And it is just the play style, the decks that are made, the personality. Yeah. So one thing you have to think about is Wizards can't really interact with any other communities a lot. I mean, they do in Reddit, and they have, like, people everywhere, but they're not on, and they're not really in the, like, in the Cube area, like, digging in and being like, what do you guys think? And, like, what, you know, so they're kind of insulated, I believe.
They might be lurking, but they're not in the discussion.
No, exactly. So I think they're having their own discussion, and it's kind of building its own little pocket universe that's evolving in its own different direction. That is, like, their Cube is probably, they probably have a great time with their Cube and find it to be amazing. But then it's like coming back from being on an island for a year by yourself and being like, I wear poop on my head. Like, we don't do that in America.
It keeps my hair warm.
Yes. All right, Walden.
It is a good point, because I wouldn't like knock someone's cube for having
a bunch of goofy ass shit.
But the fact that you have every single card at your disposal,
and
that it's like you have
it's a program.
You have the opportunity to make this, whatever environment you want, is that they're taking the time to really.
They own the Matrix.
All of,
and they're like putting dick tattoos on everything.
They're a quote unquote balanced Matrix versus a fun, powerful, balanced environment where they gotta think, they gotta put in these hosers. And they can incorporate everything from Magic's history. It's like, you made some terrible cards in some sets. You know, it doesn't mean you have to put...
Don't bring them up.
You have to put one in there,
Yeah.
We all have ashamed things, you know, that we keep in our past.
Yeah, keep those skeletons in the closet. Right. And the Elemental Blast with them, too.
Out of my cube.
Mm-hmm. Off my porch. Out of my cube.
So, Al, do you want to start the list? Let's get to the meat of actually listing things. I mean, that's what this show is, right, guys?
Is it?
Right.
I thought it was a show about Midwest orphanages.
Right.
But I got it wrong.
Incidentally, that's what this week's about. Brought to you by the Midway Force.
So my first pick is a card that I just don't even get. I told
he doesn't
Sam
understand
that
the card.
It has to be on his list, and it wasn't, so now.
Oh, yes, sorry. I can talk about it.
No, that's fine. I actually am fine bringing it up. It's Spreading Seas. One in a blue, enchant land. When Spreading Seas enters the battlefield, draw a card. Enchanted land is an island. So I just don't understand why this card is even talked about to get into Cube.
Spreading Seas was a very lucky card at one point when it was printed, purely because of the other cards that were around it. Spreading Seas was not a good card when it first came out. No one thought it was good. But the decks at the time were so non-basic land-based and not using blue that it was able to kind of sneak in and ruin all of these special lands and make them into islands in a deck that could not take care of islands. And that deck that couldn't use islands was the biggest deck at the time. So it was purely someone's innovation.
Was that when Jun was the biggest?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was purely when, like, someone was basically, what if we did this just to screw him over? And it worked. And it was such a clever idea. It didn't work all the time. But it was clever enough that people didn't expect it, and it was such a creative idea that it's so novel. And I think that they're trying to capitalize on that when the reason it was so awesome was you had four of them.
Yeah, and you think, like, oh, well, Cube runs a lot of non-basics, so you can really hose someone here with all the splashes here and there. But the good thing about Cube is that there's a lot of non-basic lands, but there's also, like, there's a lot of them. There's more than you can hose with this one card.
You need four.
Right. Yeah. You would need four to hose all of them to really cut out a splash.
Or tons of stone rain effects, too. Yep. And then they're stuck with the blue, and they can still kind of play around it and stuff.
Yep, and this then is it's like, okay, so you get Spreading Seas and your Molten Rain, Stone Rain, Pillage, you know, like, you're collecting all these red cards, and then you're splashing a blue.
The other point to make is, when this was a card in Standard and actually got lucky with that whole situation, this is, like, years and years and years. I think the last time they thought it was a good idea to print a 3-mana Stone Rain effect was Kamigawa when they printed Stone Rain.
Yep.
And that was the last time they ever printed, maybe a core set after that, but
Peak Eruption, that doesn't really count.
Peak Eruption doesn't count. I'm talking pure destroy target land for 3-mana. They haven't done such a thing. The closest they get now is 4, and you can maybe tack on an or artifact. But for the most part, you never get a land for 3-mana. All the kind of Vindicate effects they've been printing are non-land. A lot of people find 3-mana land destruction fun, because you don't get a chance to play your spells.
It's mostly, like, the newer players that don't like this, because
same people who don't like 2-mana counter spells.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a policy change where they're like, this is too much for people, so they stopped making this. And this is years and years later, when people are, like, so far removed from that being a thing in Standard, that these kind of spells, it turns out, in Standard anyway, you don't need Stone Rain to be effective. Whereas in Cube, you do.
Yeah, you need to just get that land out of there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I think Spreading Seas is a fine sideboard card, though, because there will be times when, like,
Maze of Ith only.
Manlands. I'll turn off a Manland.
Manland, that's a good point.
But at the same time, though, like you were saying earlier, it was so good against those, like, those Jund decks, because if you're on the play, and they go turn one, whatever the Jund tap land is, the triple color tap land,
yep.
You just Spreading Seas it, and they almost can't do anything their second turn.
Yep.
If you do that, like, in Cube, they'll play a basic land the second turn, and they won't give a shit about what you do. Like,
or they'll play a fetch into a duel, or they got plenty to do.
Like, Spreading Seas
and the mana
was
base
so good.
Aren't that restricted in Cube, too.
Exactly. There's so many basics you're going to be running, and probably 95% of your...
Also, but I'm saying that the multicolored section isn't as big as it was when that was a thing. Like, there were more of a selection of multicolored cards in Standard that were good than there are in Cube. I mean,
definitely.
Cube has a lot of great multicolored cards, but your decks aren't, like, 30 to 20% multicolored cards.
You're not running 4 Maelstrom Pulse, 4 Blood Raid Elf,
4
Lightnings,
4... Yeah, exactly.
Putrid Bleach,
and, like,
whatever.
Say you are counting on this Jungle Shrine that we first picked in this sample pack to really, like, fix your mana. It's the only way you're going to get that one... You know, like
Sam picked the Hall of Fountain, so it wouldn't even really screw him over that much.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You get that Jungle Shrine, and then the Hall of Fountain later. It's just like, that you can't rely... And it's like, okay, so you hose one manland, but it's like you're not building your deck around a manland strategy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like you
definitely.
Would be in Standard.
I don't like sideboard-only cards. We'll say it 1,000 times.
And honestly, it's a pretty weak sideboard-only card, because like you're saying, like, yeah, okay, you turn their Celestial Colony off. Is that really the only win column they have in their deck?
Right.
Is that card actually useless now, Celestial Colony? It only taps your blue mana now. Whatever.
They have so many Destroy Artifact and Aura, like, effects in this cube.
True.
There's a shit ton.
Force them all in there, that it's like it gets blown up, and then okay, you can trip
square one
card.
It was bad thing twice.
Yep, tear a card, put
rather play thing twice in probably every deck that would run Spreading Seas, unless they open up the game with like a man land for the
or
first six
of
turns or Maze of Edge
or
something.
Dust Bowl, or I don't
even
know,
I don't
give Shot and Port.
Like Dust Bowl,
Shot and Port would suck.
Like Dust Bowl is only really an issue if like I'm playing a lot of like non basics,
Mutavault.
Mutavault, yeah, but even them, am I really going to spend a card to stop a 2-2? Like a Mutavault?
You draw a card.
Yeah, I draw a card, yeah. I mean, card. But, that's the only redeeming quality of this card, is that you do get to draw a card. I mean, you really can't do anything silly, but is Venser in this cube?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so maybe you can, like, do stupid Venser things with it and, like, draw cards.
Oh,
spend a lot of time
doing
it.
You mean the Planeswalker Venser?
Either one's fine.
Well, one of them kind of thinks with it.
Yeah. I mean, either one of them works for what it is.
I was looking it up.
Yeah.
Well, I want to look up,
He's in there.
Another card I want to look
up. Oh, while you're over there, Sam, so we've established that this card's terrible.
Mm.
What blue card would you swap it out for?
Oh, blue card would I swap it out for?
Yep.
Probably, this cube doesn't run Arcane Denial, so I'd play that card. I'm gonna say as a disclaimer, I'm not the biggest fan of Arcane Denial, but I think if you're running a 720 cube, you certainly have room for it. It's a hard counter, one in a blue.
I have room for it at like 500.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd run it there.
Hard counter for one in a blue.
Yeah, I just hate giving them two cards.
I draw one.
Yeah. Like, it just, like, it makes you feel bad when you're not countering the best spell you possibly could.
It's a debatable card, but it's popular enough that
it's good enough.
Better than Spread of Fucking Seeds.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that I bought in my control deck as the third, fourth counter that I picked up, over that spread.
I actually like it because they'll be like, oh, double blue got countered. Oh, double blue got countered. Oh, he doesn't have double blue this time. Yeah, right. Time to play the... I had three mana open. No.
Then, I mean, the hard counter effect is a lot better than the morph your land for a time.
Yeah, into a less useful land.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
Oh, is this cube? This cube doesn't run Crystal Shard either. Apparently.
What? I bet it doesn't. Does it play Erratic Portal?
Nope. That's weird. All right. Well.
Anyway, Sam, what's your first card on your list?
Well, my first card is Hypnotic Siren, and like when we first started talking about this list, like I just opened up the cube tier thing, and my eye was just like. Like, just saw the card, and was just like, oh my god, what are you doing?
For the listener at home, Sam was indicating that his eyes kind of, like, jumped out of his head, a la the mask.
my jaw actually dropped to the ground, and my tongue rolled out.
We didn't see this, he was acting it out, but he is indicating that this is what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like that anyway.
It was tragic. I spent a lot of time in the hospital.
I do see bandages.
All over the face.
But, okay, so Hypnotic Siren, what it is, it's a base, at base, it's a 1/1 flyer for a single blue, that sucks. But you can pay for 7. Yeah, you're not playing for that.
You don't like Flying Man?
Flying Man might be better than this card. No, it's not, but,
Yo, Miss Flying Man.
Yeah, Miss Flying Man. For 7, you can bestow it on a creature, you can control that creature, and give it +1/+1 flying. And, yeah, that's cool, I guess, but, like, for 7 mana... If you're going to be playing a control variant, like a control magic variant, there are just so many better
take
ones.
Take Possession in there?
No, I checked. Take Possession's not in there.
What about that one?
Mind Control's not in there. Mm-hmm. Persuade or whatever. Nope. None of those are in there.
What about the one that gives them +2/+2 in flying and then you take them?
The only enchantments that are in this cube
like
for blue. Legacy's a lawyer is in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Legacy's a lawyer.
That's one of those... Remember the glory days when we didn't have a good selection for cube? Legacy's Allure used to be a very popular cube card. And then...
It's fine against, like, an aggro deck.
People were like, we don't fucking need that in blue. And it got cut.
Because, yeah, if you're not playing that on turn 2, you're probably not doing well. Mm. Yeah. Like, it's probably just not going to do anything for you.
It's terrible top deck.
Yeah, it's awful top deck. It's really... It's still bad, I think, at turn 2, because you have to wait for it to do anything.
Yeah. Is that on anyone's list?
It's on this list now. Yeah. It's just hand in hand.
It's on my list when it shouldn't be.
Hypnotic Siren's bestowed upon Legacy's Allure. That's what happened there.
Okay.
I'm giving them both a boot.
Do you already say Mind Control?
I'll take Mind Control. It's not on the list. The only...
How about Sower? Is Sower on there?
Sower's on here.
Okay, good. Thank God.
They're not just ridiculous, thankfully. Thankfully, like we said earlier, they run the good cards. Like it's
some of them.
Most of the top cards. If there's like a top 10% of cube cards, I think they run all those. But after that, I don't know. It's pretty ugly.
So what would your choice be to replace that?
Take Possession, Confiscate.
If you need to have a, I don't think it's worth having that many mind control effects.
I don't think so either. But if you're gonna play that many, I think mind control is just better than all those.
Yeah.
I'd rather play 5
too good
mana.
To play a limited deck, uncommon.
Yeah, there's a reason they haven't printed it since, like, M12 or M11.
And they've been printing all these terrible, like,
terrible in comparison. Like, fine, Domestication, that's a quote-unquote fine card.
It's a fine card,
yeah.
Son.
Yeah, but you'll take it early in limited, but...
Gladly give my dowry if you took home a mind control.
Mr. Darcy, what do you say about mind control? But yeah, screw that card. I hate that.
Screw that card, bro.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like,
rage.
If either one of you were playing that card or anyone I knew who had a cube, I would just give you a better blue card. I'd be like, here you go, give me that card and just rip it in your hands and then light it on fire and then eat the ashes and then poop them out and throw them out a car.
But we had to put a card in from Born of the Gods.
And that's the thing,
that.
Is like
or
they,
whatever.
They gotta put the bestow, they really want to push bestow and it's like, this is a unique bestow.
Remember
mechanics,
bestow, guys? You won't love it.
I'd rather Nimbus Knight, honestly.
Yeah, actually, that's a good
point. Like, I'd rather just, like, something to get
Born
of
Windrake that can get a little bigger.
Yeah, I'll take that. over, like, way over costed. And, like, you know, I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe if, like, you have Hypnotic Siren with, like, Crystal Shard, it's not, like, the dumbest thing on Earth.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
It's terrible,
it costs, like, 30.
Yeah, it costs exactly. I'm like, it's not the absolute worst. But then, one, you're never going to have a matchup where that's actually relevant. And two, Crystal Shard ride Portal on Q anyways. So it doesn't really matter.
Is
so,
Capsizing there? Yeah, they're running Capsizing there.
Yeah, I think Capsizing.
I think so.
They got water from Bouncer?
Yeah, Capsize. Yep, I think they got the Bouncer.
Do they? I don't know.
Are they bouncing?
Oh, they do have Capsize. Yep,
they
do.
They don't have the Bouncer.
No Bouncers?
No Bouncer. Yeah, Waterfront Bouncer. That'd be a great card to have in there.
Okay, so let's put that in instead.
Wait, I got to save all these, alright? I gotta come up with a card for 20 years, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm on that even blue cards. Alright. So my first one, I'm gonna go right for the trap. The jugular.
Yeah, do it.
Trap music.
Earl?
Yes.
I'm assuming it's Earl, because everyone says that my name is Earl. Joke all the fucking time.
Yeah,
it's not
that
funny.
Yeah,
So, Earl the Miststalker. Earl the Miststalker is okay as a three-man, three different colors, red, white, green, and then two more for, so five mana for you guys who are still watching Sesame Street. For 5/5 with Hexproof, which is okay. Sigarda's nice, but Sigarda's already only two different colors and has flying and can't make sacrifice. But whatever, there's more to this ability.
Uh-huh.
There's more to Earl. If it's wearing an aura, it,
gets +2/+2?
Yes, exactly.
For each aura.
So...
That seems pretty good!
This card is, Wizards pulling their agenda from the EDH community.
Uh-huh.
Earl is a notorious general, because you can... put it in your deck, or you put it on in your command zone, and basically you can get it anytime you want, and the rest of your deck is basically all auras that are ridiculously awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hypnotic
Saga.
Yeah.
In the
red, deck. White, and green.
It's a colorless card in that deck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
You have to break some rules if you want to make good decks, so.
I guess so.
If you want to make an omelet, you gotta buy some eggs, right?
Yeah,
right. That's not how the same goes, but...
Your play group to go rogue.
But anyway, so in that situation, constructed format where you can kind of construct the deck to have tons of auras that are make it a big, awesome beat stick, and you kick the shit out of people, and it has all these cool abilities, double strike, etc.
Yeah.
You know what? We should put Earl in, and then we should support him with tons of amazing enchantments, all auras that you can pump on him.
I have a better idea. How about we put him in, and we don't support him at all?
At all?
At all.
Well, no. How about we put Rancor in, because we were going to put Rancor in anyway?
Okay. Well, we also have Face Fetters. That wouldn't be the worst,
ooh,
would it?
You're right.
Okay.
Does Boon Satyrs count? I guess. We're going to cut it next time, though, because it's kind of... People like it. But anyway, so, literally, if you look up the list, the only aura that's beneficial, the only two auras that are beneficial to put on Earl the Miststalker are Rancor and Boon Satyr. And then the only other aura that is in that color trilogy... that you could potentially put on it.
With, like, Necromancy count, if you're going, like, four colors?
No, nope, not an aura.
No.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Anyway, the only other card that works to give it the +2/+2 is Fate's Fetters, which takes away any activated abilities and make it so it can't attack or block.
Well, when you're running Prey Pawn, that's why it's really good.
Are they running Prey Pawn?
They're not running
Okay,
Prey
scared
Pawn.
Me. But, anyway, so this is the definition of a trap card. Or they're dumb enough to think that we just put this a 5/5 in three colors with hexproof is good enough. And then that one chance that you're actually going to be able to pump it once to make it a 9/7. 9/7 trample. That's the best you can bet from your Earl most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many better Naya colored cards that could potentially go in. And let's hear one, Sam.
How about Naya Charm?
Naya Charm's okay.
I think it's better than Earl. I like versatility.
I like Realm Razor.
Yeah, Realm Razor is fine too. That's an excellent
Realm Razor.
That's an old school
fun
classic.
Memories. Fun femur.
I got the memory.
It's not the tuba.
It's not the memory.
Yeah. Anyway, Realm Razor would be my choice.
Yeah, I think the card's fine.
It's cool.
Do you know what's a good choice though? Wild and the Cattle.
It's on.
Yeah.
Oh, they have that?
It's in the green section.
Move it.
Thornscape Battle Mage is in the green section too.
Thornscape Battle Mages?
Obviously.
No.
Yeah, it's a green card. This one also I like a lot. It's like they have these cards in there, but like in all their color sections are pretty much like 100% even. But
the
what's going on here?
Well, cube tutor. The cube tutor, Moto Cube, is not maintained by Wizards. It's just a dude that uploaded it.
Yeah, yeah, I get it, but like,
I don't think they.
But that would mean that like
their list either.
Naya randomly has like two randomly Naya cards. Like Linkroom Souls is listed under the white cards, which means Orzhov has 7 cards, but other sections don't have that many. It's just like, we want to do it this way, but then we're going to take a giant shit on that idea.
Yeah.
And here you go. Here's what you got instead. This is fun.
And it could be also, that just kind of reminded me of like meeting the lowest common denominator. Like when they're breaking out all these cards and stuff, they're like, okay, so a new player, new to cube, is going to look at Wild Mikado. Oh, it's colored green, so we're going to say, you know, we're going to put that in our green section.
Yep.
And really, like, the more experienced player is not going to play that in their mono green deck. You know?
No one's playing Curd Ape in their mono red deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one does that.
I need one more one drop.
Mm.
So I need a vanilla one. Yeah.
I really need that vanilla one. I need that Fugitive Wizard.
Uh-huh.
No.
No, thank you.
The thing is, I don't mind them putting Earl in the cube, as long as if they put 4 or 5, they don't have to be great, but good auras in with it, and then some way to get auras, and then maybe one other guy that cared about enchantments in general or something like that, make a little thing out of it. I wouldn't mind drafting it. It doesn't have to be super powerful, but if you wanted to put an aura sub-theme, just commit to it. Just do something to make it draftable.
Yeah. And even, like, putting, like, middling auras would actually even benefit the strategy more, because if you took your old, then...
No one's going to take those shit auras.
No shitty auras, yeah. But you're going to like them, so it's like, it even makes that strategy more viable if they're not the best
auras, totally.
But there's more of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to explain limited.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, the most, like, things you could slap on them to give them bonuses are all, like, blue.
Yeah.
But, like, there's, like, 4, and that's, like, control magic and, like, things you
so you're control magicing your own guy.
Yeah. It's, like, but it's, like, you could at least do it, but they're in another color, so you'd have to run 4.
I don't want a MacGyver to make Earl good.
Yeah.
This is, like, honestly, this is, like, making me stressed out, this podcast right now. Just, like, talking about these cards, being like, oh!
Let's move on.
Yeah.
I just,
Is it me again?
Yes.
Al, please, give us something.
So, I'm going to go my next one with Trinket Mage.
Yeah.
And I looked that dude up, looked at his targets. There were, like, 8 targets.
8 targets? And how big of a cube?
In the 720
Oh,
cube.
So you're never going to see them in the draft.
Yep. And, one of them isn't Soul Ring, so...
One of them isn't Soul Ring?
Yeah.
What about all the mocks? Any mocks in there?
There's Chrome Mocks.
But don't you have to... Hold on. Maybe I just
no, they're waterless, so they're technically 11.
Okay.
Chromox, Everglowing
Phalanx. There's technically 11, dude.
Bro?
That's so much more than 8.
It's a lot more than 8.
A lot of people...
He did get me.
In Trinket Mage's defense...
You know, but one of them is Aether Vial. So...
That's a weird deck.
Yeah, so, you know, Trinket Mage, get your Aether Vial. Because that's what you want.
On turn 3, definitely.
On turn 3, yeah. Maybe you're Ancient Tombing it out.
Aether Vial's a card that shouldn't belong in most cubes, but... That's a story for another story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just want to defend Trinket Mage to the listeners who don't know a lot about different sized cubes. At 360 with a power 9 in it.
Card's awesome.
Trinket Mage is one of the best cards in blue. Not the one of the best, but you know, good enough to make the section in blue, which makes you one of the best cards in blue.
Yeah, and at 360, if you're drafting with 8 players, it's a really high chance it's always going to make your deck if you're playing blue.
You're going to get a Mox.
Yeah, probably.
You're going to get some kind of... It's good with black dice.
Mana Balls.
Yeah. There's tons,
et cetera.
There's tons and tons and tons of good... Even if you are kind of doing like a blue aggro-y thing, I like it with Bone Splitter. It kind of turns into a Stone Forge.
Elixir of Immortality.
Yep.
When you're making your, you know, standard legal Sphinx's Rev deck.
True.
Where you got to... That's your win condition in queue.
I see, like, the blue, like... aggro tempo deck would be the only time in this cube where I'd want to play Trinket Mage. Because you can have Bone Splitter and you can have Skullclamp. And
it's
that's it, really, though. Like, I need to have, like, both of those cards in that deck to want to play Trinket Mage.
And it is pretty cool if it's like, okay, I'm going to get my Bone Splitter to throw it on a guy. I'm going to get my Cursed Scroll because I'm running out of cards in my hand. Or I'm going to get my Hiding Needle to stop your Planeswalker.
Yep.
But it's like, you still got to get those guys, too. And if you don't get one of these 11...
Dead card.
Oh,
no, Grey Orgs are never useless, man. 2/2 for 3, all cubes.
It technically is a creature.
Yep,
absolutely.
As we go into cons block,
sure is. If you don't see one of these guys, you don't get one of these these guys, it's next to useless. And even if you get the wrong one, they have a planeswalker on the board, you go fetch up your Aether Isle. Like, it's not, you know, yeah. You need to have exactly Trinket Mage and then yep. exactly Pyre.
You need a toolbox right. of things to get.
And am I playing Trinket Mage and Relic because I have both of them?
Right. And it's probably like, not. Yeah. No.
Am I going to bring in both of them if
I'm not happy about it?
Yes.
You think so? You think you bring
well,
both of them?
That's what I was thinking. If I'm in blue, yes. The exact, yeah. Yeah, like if I need to hate on that, you know, if I know right. I need that specific thing and I have a tutor for it, maybe I'll put it in, but it's yep. like, I got to, what am I cutting? You know, my
yeah, no one's playing Stoneforge Mystic for the body, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's for what it gets you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was like another example of like a trap. You know, it's like, oh, it's around.
Terrible trap.
It's like, okay,
yep.
I got nothing and I wasted that pick.
That's a massive trap. It's just awful.
But it's like not even like Tinker can be a trap as it was in my cube for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
but
like,
at least there are like big creatures you can like tinker out in this.
And it's like the
that was kind of worth the tempt.
Yeah. It's not like I'm just tinkering out, you know, my bone splitter. It's like you're just going to absolutely dominate the game if you tinker out your worm coil, you tinker out your giant.
There are six fairly legit giant targets for Tinker that make it a worthwhile card to run.
And the effect is just so much more powerful
yep.
that it's like it's mm-hmm. worth to speculate on it.
So Sam, what's one of these blue cards you would replace it with?
How about the Waterfront Bouncer we were talking about beforehand?
No.
I'm cheating.
Alright.
I'm taking that one. You're really racking my brain right now. I mean, but I think this I think that's the thing.
We've named
like,
a ton of blue cards that could replace anything
yeah.
at any point in time.
I just...
What's your next card?
At a 720, like, you should be running Waterfront Bouncer. It's not a card you have to run at lower, like, cube sizes, but, like, I just don't get why this cube is not supporting any of the Crystal Shard archetype cards.
Yep.
I don't get it.
They got Jace the Mind Sculptor in there, right?
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah, there's one. Supporting. Great.
Ding.
Ding. My card. Next one is All Suns Dawn. And, like, this is...
Is that, like, Greater Gargadon?
It's a magic card, so I would say it
yes.
is like okay. that in one reference, in one part. It's green, four colorless, you get to take a card from your graveyard of each color. And like, yeah, if you're playing like 3+ colors...
In exile, All Suns Dawn.
You have to exile too, that's
yep.
right. And,
Stickler over here.
Yeah,
gotta do it.
Rules judge over here.
We're here.
Yeah.
Not actually a judge.
Over in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But he is an orphan. Oh.
Not yet.
In time.
Yeah,
but Austin's done. I like this card a lot when Storm was an archetype in the cube that wasn't the worst. Pretty much, I only like this card when Dream Halls is in the cube because casting this card for free is like really really good because you get to get like you know 2-3 cards when you're playing like the green blue red or green blue black Storm decks. But I don't know. I'd rather restock. I'd rather other green cards. I'd rather. Like, if I only have green cards and colorless, I can't get a colorless card.
No, true.
Which sucks. I
can't
get a
your
land.
Sword back.
Can't get your
Kern.
Can't get your Kern.
Candy corn.
Can't get them. Can't get, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. All this Kern talk. But it's just way too limiting. The best case scenario does not make up for the fact that the worst case scenario is just exponentially way,
you'd
way
rather have
worse.
Restock.
Oh, way more.
Are they playing regrowth?
I
assume
so. Jesus Christ. Do I have to look at this? Oh, please.
Yeah, they are.
Eternal
yeah,
Witness?
I'm not even going to look. They have to be playing that. I'm looking.
okay, good.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
Alright.
But even then, like, I don't
know. Stable Stag, do you ask? Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to play it. I used to play the Stag.
Do you guys have any other green cards on your list?
No.
No? Okay, well, then I want to talk about friggin' Almath. Locus of Mana.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Is he in?
No, he's not in.
Oh.
But I want him to be in.
Okay, fair enough.
I've been playing with him.
I'm just going in an entirely different
yeah.
direction.
Yeah. I've been playing with him a lot on this free magic program that might rhyme with Bokkachice. And he's just been incredible.
Walk with Rice?
Walk with Rice, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Walk with Rice, great program.
It's really great. It's free, too. And, He dies to Doomblade, and I think he didn't...
He's just going to start with that.
Yeah, yeah. First and foremost, he does start
yeah,
with so that.
Dies,
you know, he runs down and Doomblade.
Don't talk about it.
But, I think, like, when he came out, people were putting a lot more weight on the Terminate test and the Vindicate test and that kind of stuff. Because I remember, like, Greenless Forms back then, every card is like, doesn't pass the Terminate test, doesn't pass the Vindicate test. And, like, yeah, those are important, but I feel like...
when you have to look at like what a card can do at the very max when it is passing that test, when that is not being put to that test, and I feel like
I like
I'm
to
not...
give one swing.
Yeah, sure.
At this point, I mean, like realistically, if you're spending a lot of mana, it, like anything over 4 mana, oh, actually, five gets one swing. Anything above has to pass the Vindicate or Terminate test for me.
I think that's fair, but I think for a 3-drop, Omnoth is totally okay not passing the Doomblade test.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Especially if you're gonna get Brim as a pass.
Yeah,
and it's not a huge right. It's not enough of a mana intensive investment that it's gonna set you back if it gets Doombladed.
Most of the time, it's gonna end up giving you mana.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
By turn five, you could be having 9 mana in your mana pool.
That's a lot of mana, Sam.
Yeah, and then you're swinging for 10. Before you cast your spell.
True.
Like...
And then you're playing a bunch of fat dudes.
PHP!
Doomblade.
Yeah, true. I hope not. He's the only one who's gonna die to Doomblade today.
Die to Doomblade. Cockatrice. I got a bad cough today. But, yeah.
I don't know what you mean walking rice?
Walking rice, yes. Okay. You made Christopher walking rice. You gotta play Doomblade. That's my best. That's all I got.
That was a great one. Can I hear that one more time?
That was actually more John Travolta. You gotta play.
Oh my god, I couldn't believe it. Gotta play Sandy.
List of people in the room right now. Christopher Walken.
John Travolta.
Both of them.
Yeah. Well, one of them was a Travolta.
Oh.
Okay. A Travolta. I think it was Horace Travolta.
Explained.
Shemp Travolta.
Should we get through our last few here?
Yeah,
let's just make noises.
Okay. I don't like this way this podcast is going in an artistic direction.
Yeah, that's fair.
My second choice, we're going to go with Farika's Cure.
Is that like Sword's Thirst?
No.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Not at all. Stop talking.
Okay.
Farika's Cure is 2 black for an instant. Deals 2 to a creature. Does it also deal to a player?
Nope,
just a creature.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, players.
Uh-huh.
And then you gain 2 life. Instant speed. It's okay in limited. If you're in a heavy black.
Yeah.
Double black. Instant speed. Weak, weak, weak spell. Not only can you legitimately kill most creatures for usually 2 mana in black, like with what we've been talking about, the Gopher mm-hmm. the Throats, the Doom Blades.
The Gopher Throats, yeah.
The Gopher Throats. The Edicts. There's plenty of options. What's the one that you... Ultimate Price?
Yep.
Ultimate...
Colored Creature.
Yep. All better choices. So instead of making a splashable, easy-to-play removal spell available, they might already be able to those in there.
What?
Those
yeah,
better...
Ultimate Prices, Gopher
yeah,
Throats,
they're there.
Doomblade,
okay,
Edicts,
good.
Diabolic Edictors.
Not enough. We need more. And we need them harder to cast. So, and I don't want it to be, like, for that harder commitment, I don't want to be able to hit more creatures. I want to be able to hit less creatures and gain a little life. That's terrible. That's a very bad decision Wizards made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I think it's very, I don't know, it's just horrible. It's just a very bad removal spell. It's hard to cast.
Yeah.
It's not that good at its job. And it doesn't really, like, the 2 life is okay in black. I'm happy to have it back. But it's not enough of a reward for that commitment and that much of a restriction on what I can do with it.
Yeah.
I'd rather play burn spells. I'd rather there's...
Grasp of Darkness is way better. -4/-4 for the same cost.
Yep.
I'd way rather play that card.
Very much so. Geth's Verdict?
Geth's Verdict, sure. They don't play Read
Small
the Bones in this cube. Smallpox.
Yep.
Read the Bones. I mean, even though they play like Sign of Blood and Night's Whisper and Skeletal Scrying for some reason.
Skeletal Scrying's...
It's okay, but filling up the graveyard is a lot harder.
We tried it out.
Yeah,
and you don't want to get rid of stuff, especially not in black.
Yeah,
it's like you want to fill your graveyard usually to use it, but then you just get rid of it all to get more cards that you want to get in your graveyard to use.
Definitely. It's like it'd be like a fine card to splash for in like a blue control deck, but then you start thinking about it and you're like, how can am I not able to draw cards in this blue deck?
Right.
Yeah,
like,
right. Exactly.
Can I build a blue deck?
Yeah. What am I doing?
Yeah. What about a red deck?
Yeah, I'd splash that in, like, a red aggro deck.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, maybe. But even then, like, there's probably just... I just feel like either A, better cards, or B, no reason to screw your mana base up.
Screen doesn't want it.
No.
So, what does Wizards do after it sticks its finger in the proverbial Farika Secure Lightning electrical socket?
Yeah. It doesn't run another version of it, does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh!
It does. It plays Sorin's Thirst.
What does that do?
Double black.
Uh-huh.
Instant speed. To a creature, You gain 2 life.
No, well, but...
Not to a player.
No, what did Freakus Cure do again?
Same fucking thing.
Oh!
Same thing. Absolutely same thing. This terrible removal spell is so important to them. They get so nice, you gotta run it twice.
Yeah. Well, see, if you're gonna tell people mono black aggro is not a trap, you need to do it and remove those dinkers on the other side and gain yourself some 2 life because you like to run Carnifage.
Mm-hmm.
Are, I mean, you get 2 true. Opportunities.
Are you, are they running Sinkhole?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But what about him?
Recurring Nightmare, though.
Oh!
No,
what?
They're
okay.
Oh, yeah, they do have Tamers either. Yeah.
What about,
They've got some weird cards in here, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they got...
Yeah, no, but your point, not to totally
bad
dismiss
moon.
It.
They got bad mood, guys. Sorry, I gotta scream it out real quick. Anyways, sorry, Al, what were you saying?
That those cards are bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And there shouldn't be one copy of them, let alone two. It's a singleton environment, I get it. It's cool to run multiples of the same kind of effect just because it's such a good effect. That's not a good effect.
No.
Nope.
It's not worth it.
Bad. And, like, I like they have, like, Smother in there. Destroy target creature with converted mana cost.
Splashable.
Yeah, that's
not regeneration.
Splashable. It's killing about the same amount of, you know, the same area of creatures.
Yeah.
You know, with your 2 damage versus your 3 converted mana cost.
It reminds me of Abrupt Decay, which
yeah.
is, like, a fine card.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's, like,
I like Abrupt Decay more.
Definitely.
Right. Because it's dealing with more things.
Yep.
Yeah. Can't counter
like,
it.
I mean, I get it. If you're going to run, like, kind of a pigeonhole card dealing with only a subset of creatures on the board...
Make
like
it easy to do.
Yeah, Smother's a better version of both Sorin's Thirst and Freakus Cure. So why are you running either of those
yep.
if you already have the card you need doing the job you want?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make
run
sense.
Something else more exciting.
Yeah.
It's like they got to, like, 500 cards and they're just like, what do we do from here? And just, like, had, like, a hat full of every card in Magic's history and
yep.
just picking them up from there.
Yeah, it's like almost like they overthought it, because like if you're going to run Farika's Cure, they're like, okay, you can run Farika's Cure and Sorin's Thirst, and then you can, you know, use Dismember, but, you know, you offset the life gain of Carnifage, and you offset the life loss of Bitter Blossom and stuff, but it's just like...
That's why we run, Vampire Nighthawk's an amazing card anyway,
yeah.
but like any chance I get to put life gain in on a reasonable, like something that I was already going to kind of put in anyway, it's awesome to have it, because Black always needs it. But at the same time, that's not worth
you
it.
You don't have to do it there. Because, like, once they stop playing creatures that it dies to, that one of those cards kills, you can't even gain your 2 life. So then it's
definitely.
Just killing your
You can still gain the 2 life. You just don't kill that
right,
guy.
Right, it's dealing the 2 damage. Right?
So
you're not even... Right.
It's okay in a combat trick then, maybe, right?
Yeah.
I want to have to use 2 cards to kill something.
Yeah, 2 for 1.
Which,
yeah.
I mean, could be... It's a thing.
You if
know,
you have to
like,
do
if
it,
if you're
you
in aggro, you
yeah.
might have dinker guys. That need
They're
to,
taking the idea of limited to heart. Like, they really want your options to be limited.
I just hate that they're on, like, the same card when there's so many other, like, fine options at that cost.
They
like,
doing Reassembling Skeleton?
I don't think so. I'm going to just guess that they don't. They don't.
Nozomi Grave Robber?
Yep.
Yeah, they have both Nozomi Brothers.
Yep. The
Unrealistically
Bros.
Terrible.
Knight Infamy, they have Hand of Cruelty. No Black Knight, though. Hand of Cruelty with no Black Knight. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't really like Hand of Cruelty at all.
Yeah, me either.
I'd rather have the First Strike.
They've been running Hand of Cruelty for a long time,
too. Yeah, that's
true. It's just like, I don't get it.
I think it's like pushing the mono-colored decks.
Yep.
If I can jump in here, the last card on my list was Celestial Flare.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
Double white. What is it? Got a sacrifice.
Exile, right? Exile and attacking your blocking creature?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I only know that because it's like been in a recent limited set, I think.
And like that's
nope, it's target player sacrifices an attacking or blocking creature.
Oh, okay, that's terrible.
And so you're in double white territory, so you're running in a heavy white deck, and you don't even get to choose what you're dealing with.
No.
So they're attacking you with a couple dudes and
a token deck or something like that.
It's so pigeonholed into the decks that can run it, into the situations it's actually going to benefit you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
maybe when you're powering up your Earl with all those auras,
right?
And tagging only with him.
At the end of the
day,
that's
the one time that's good, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe against like Reanimator too, or like against Sneak Attack
control decks.
Yeah. But and you know, removal's removal. If you need to run it, you will run it.
Yeah.
But you're going to be way disappointed way more often than you're going to be happy with
Double
it.
White, once again, for really restricted. I'd rather... Is pacifism
I was
in
just going to say, I'd rather run pacifism.
Is it in there?
It's not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was literally just looking that card up.
Is Arrest in there?
I'm going to... If they're not running pacifism, I'm fine at running Arrest. But they do have Honor of the Pure. And Dictate of Heliod.
Great.
Yeah.
That doesn't help at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just.
And Spear of Helion.
It's just.
Because how many of those do you need, right?
I run all three.
And also, they have Bad Moon.
I don't run Bad Moon.
You don't run Bad Moon.
I run, but I do run all those Anthems.
Yeah, I
like the Anthems, because I think the token decks love them. Like, you know, you can get some aggro stuff. Yeah. Like, the Spear, it's doing some defense kind of stuff.
That's too. Fair.
It's I've never used the Spear's activated ability
just
once.
Just the fact that it has one, I like it.
Yeah, it's a rattlesnake.
I've used it in regular limited, but never in cube.
Right,
I
exactly.
I never find myself in those decks to have mana open when I want to use the Spear.
Yeah, right.
But in limited enough, it's, you know, you're doing whatever. You're playing, like, shitty two drops with your Spear. Pretty happy about it.
So, yeah, pacifism, good replacement?
Yeah, I'd be way happy.
How about
that.
Temporal Isolation? Are they running that?
I'm going to say no. I'm right. Yep. They're not running that card.
I have a fond love of Temporal Isolation. Instant speed.
I think that card's great.
No more attacking or blocking. Or you can if you want, but it's not going to matter.
It's like this. It's like the same card, like the same role as Celestial Fair, except it works.
Yep.
And it does stuff.
The only thing it doesn't work against is Titans.
Yeah. And things with tap abilities.
Yeah.
Like, but like that's
not damage
largely
ones,
irrelevant. Yeah, yeah. Damage ones, it wouldn't work. But like, but it's again, that's still largely irrelevant. And also, too, there just aren't a lot of those options in cube.
Yep.
So it's...
So do you want to go with your last one?
Yeah, I mean, I've already screamed out Bad Moon because I didn't realize it was in there until we did this.
Yeah.
Just like,
Bad
what?
Bad Moon!
Yeah.
It was going to be Vizar the Dreadful.
It was going to be Vizar the Dreadful, and I'm still pretty...
Classic cube card.
Yeah, it was like, you know, maybe 5 years ago, I would love to play that card. Like,
I used
cool.
to.
But like,
that was one of the ones that I was like, I have to get Vizar the Dreadful because that's the best 6-drop in black, other than that in Kashoku or whatever.
Yeah,
and
but
then,
this is a card that fails a Determinate test, like, or Doom, it doesn't fail a Doomblade test, but it fails Terminate test, Vindicate test.
Also, what do you want to do with your 6-drops? Tap them and not attack with them?
I want my 5/5 flyer not to attack, that's what I wanted to do.
I wanted to take out some guy. And do you have unlimited access to what you destroy? Is it destroy target creature, or is it destroy
target creature? Creature.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So
it
is fine like
but
that.
But it can't be regenerated.
Oh, you showed them.
So Thrawn, me. Oh, wait. How about Troll Senic? But yeah, I mean, that card, Vizar the Dreadful, is run over Sewer Nemesis, which I have a found love for. I love that card, and I think it's way better than Vizar.
Yep.
It's often, in this cube, I don't see it ever being, like, really cheated out early, so it's going to be, like, way better than any power cube would have it, and that means it's probably going to be, like, a 4/4 plus anytime you play it. Most of the time, I feel. And then also, Desecration Demon. That's a card I like a lot.
I'm thinking about cutting it soon.
Yeah, I mean...
I kind of want to put Sewer Nemesis back in.
I think if you're running... If you have to run one or the other, I think Sewer Nemesis is better.
But I might put that new guy from Cons, the 3/2 that draws cards when other guys die.
Yeah.
I might try that guy out.
He might be fine, yeah. He's pretty cool. And he might be another reason to run Xanth or Necromancer. That card's getting pretty close to getting run.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, Sky runs that card. And I've made a deck where Xanth and Necromancer was good. But I've also seen it not being played a lot.
Right.
So,
like, the thing I'm getting to with my cube, I've been adding a lot more build around me cards.
Yeah.
Tangent right now. I've been running a lot more build around me. I put Living Death in recently. I got the Wildfires. I got all that stuff going on.
You got all kids.
I feel like I'm getting to a point where I'm putting too many archetype cards in and not enough support cards in. And it's kind of like too many things you can go with, but not enough. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm nervous that I'm not supporting the decks enough, and I'm trying to do too much stuff. So, like,
right.
I don't know, I'd have to cut some stuff or look around to see if I'd want to put Xanth and Necromancer in just to, you know, like, is that worth supporting?
Yeah.
It would have to be incidentally powerful, you know?
I think it's, like, very, very borderline right now.
Yeah.
But I think in the next 5 years, if they don't print, like, a better version of that card, I mean, I think eventually the card's going to be outclassed at that spot.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. But if for some reason they don't print any better 3-drop black creatures, and they print a lot of other good humans in that color and other colors that are cubable, then I think Xanth the Necromancer has some legitimacy to it. Because having all your things have, like, a persist kind of ability to it, to a point, you know, having all your humans turn into 2/2s, that's pretty damn good. It's, like, it's wrath-proof, it's removal-proof, it's not the worst by any means, and if you have, like, a recurring nightmare, you can get really silly with that. There's things to do with it.
Since we're already going off on Tangent Zone, can we vow that the next one that we do is not so negative and we're talking about cards we like from the cube?
Sure, I guess. I don't know.
I was going to suggest the top 3 cards you want to set on fire.
Top 3 cards that make me think about killing a dog.
Now that's interesting. So spread
that's like every card.
Make it into that.
Yeah, most cards make me want to kill a dog. So, no, I'm just disclaimer, I don't want to kill any dogs.
Not anymore.
Ever since we cut that cube,
guys. Yeah, exactly. So you guys...
What's the squirrel hunter?
I wedged my two removal spells into one. Also, sub note, if you made it this far and you really give a shit, we're not going to do a cons preview, I don't think. We're going to do a cons review, give it a month or so to kind of settle in, see what cards are actually good. No one cares. I mean, people do reviews all the time, and they're sub-valuable because people are fairly good at, like, determining what's going to be good and what's not.
Do you think the fetch lands are going to be good?
Some cards, you know, surprise people, and some cards either by being good or bad. So, more better or worse than expected. So, it's good to kind of give it some breathing room, and that's what we're going
to
do.
Yep. I'd rather play a card, too, and then be able to talk to it a little more.
Yep. Even if it's anecdotal.
Yep.
You know?
Just seeing someone else play it. Something. Try out a few options.
Definitely. So, anyway, I did my three. I put the cure and the thirst in one kind of thing, kind of proving a point. Got to talk about them both at the same time.
When you were telling me to shut up, I thought that's because your this orange thirst was the third one. I was
it
like,
was the third one.
Was it?
I was going to wait and be like, oh, remember all that stuff I said?
You would have got some booze. You would have got some booze.
I thought the whole point of it was to mention them together. That's why I was like, you should just put them in one slot.
Oh, I was going to surprise people.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm using the both of my slots at the same time.
Yeah, fill your slots.
Anyway, can you bring up the list of... They were saying they put 12 cards in from M15.
Did they?
Yeah, the article specifically states that they wanted to put 12 cards from M15 in to kind of highlight, you know, what's new and exciting about the cube.
Did it show the ones that they did put in?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I'm going to find M15 and the filter. Give me a moment. M15, you said?
Yep.
Filter. All right. Your session expired. You've been directed the whole time. Hey, how about that?
Not on Cube Tutor.
Oh, yeah.
On the article that they released.
Right. You gotta find the article.
I got it right here.
You gotta find the article.
If you go to set and you scroll up M15.
Yeah, but they might not have.
I got it.
Whoever entered it might not have.
He's got it right here.
Looking at the same one. 8, 9, 10, 11. There's only 11 lists a year.
Can we go to the article?
The Adam Prozac one?
Was it on the Wizard site?
Prozac, Cube, M15. M15 updates, okay. Not the Wizard.
We can edit this out in post.
Like my whistling? Anyway.
We're getting there.
Oh man, we're so prepared.
Well, we wanted this to happen. This is part of it. I'm getting.
Yeah. Okay. Here we are. Okay. Cool.
All right.
Scrolling down. So here's the changes.
M15 changes.
Yep.
The first card I'm saying is going to be the one leaving the cube, and entering the cube is going to be the one after. So Fathom Seer's leaving for Chasm Skulker.
Wait, Sammy, I want to turn around.
Oh yeah. Fathom Seer is leaving for Chasm Skulker. Putrefy is leaving for Garruk Apex Predator. Genju of the Spires is leaving for Generator Servant. Genesis is leaving for Genesis Hydra, which I think it's funny how they thought the cut they did there.
They just wanted to take their dicks out.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that one you just mentioned?
They cut Genesis for Genesis Hydra.
Right.
Mm. They wanted one more word for their Genesis card.
They're really pushing Hydras. That is something that's actually true.
There's also the 6-drop Hydra thing, too, that's in this cube now.
Hydra.
The one that has Monstrosity that makes XX things for X.
Yes.
That's in here.
Hydra Broodmaster.
Yep. Anyways, those are the Punishers being cut for Goblin Rabble Master, which is a great card, and it should be in every cube.
Anyway, keep going.
Yep. Thelnet Hermit, cut for Hornet Queen.
Fine.
Turnabout, cut for...
Jaleer. Oh, no, wait. Hold up. Go back to Hornet Queen. I wanted to make a point about this.
Card sweet.
Yeah, great. They're adding it as part of the M15 update. That's a fucking reprint.
Yeah.
You can't... That card should have been in the cube already.
We're adding islands to your basic lands.
It's a new innovation from M15. It's called Island.
Yeah.
It's new and exciting.
You might have heard of blue mana before.
Whoa.
Yo, I got these tundras. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. It's just...
So, keep going.
Turnabout, cut for Jaleera, Master Polymorphous.
Yeah.
Brooding Saurian, cut for Nissa Worldbreaker, which I love, because I hate Brooding Saurian.
Yeah, that's was an awful card to see.
That was in my first article about awful cube cards in the MTGO cube.
They just wanted to make the Bestow control magic guy better.
Yeah, of course. It makes sense. Bold Shambler, cut for Reclamation Sage.
Great.
Frost Titan, cut for Soul of Ravnica.
you said Soul of Ravnica, people. Who
yeah, sorry. I just had like a slight aneurysm there as I read that. Inferno Titan, Shrieking Grotesque, cut for Spirit Bonds. Inferno Titan was cut for Soul of Shambler. I think
is that the whole list?
That's the whole list.
Okay. I don't even want to talk about what should have been cut for what. I don't want to be cut, talk about, like, this list is stupid. Like, yeah, there's...
It's so dumb.
There's some good ideas, there's some bad ideas. There's no...
They're mostly bad ideas.
There's no point in being like, well, if you replace this and replace this, I'm just going to say, fuck that. I'm going to talk about 12 cards that came out in M15 that are good enough to actually make it in a cube that size.
Yep.
Here's that list. We're just going to go down it. And so if someone is trying to follow that and they want a better idea of what to use, just because they don't think those cards are good, like
some
us...
Some of these cards are fine, and some of them aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them will be on my list, some of them will not. So yep. We're going to do this, and we're literally... Everyone's going to say... I don't want to waste everyone's time.
Sure, yeah,
it's 12 cards. You get, like, a sentence or two. Let's just go through them.
All right.
Garruk, Apex Predator. Splashy giant planeswalker. Takes care of a lot of crap.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Yep.
Hits the board is awesome.
Yep. Generator Servant. Good in aggro, good at ramping out stuff. It kind of supports the hasty fires kind of thing. I've heard a lot of good things from people who've been testing it.
Seems cool. Yep.
I like the fires archetype and more stuff in there is good for it.
Yeah. Yep. Seems like a neat card.
Goblin Rabble Master.
Fucking awesome.
Good card, says everyone ever.
Yeah, I can read.
So that's three.
Yep.
Nissa World Waker.
Amazing.
Another planeswalker. I mean, I'm not running it. I'm not going out of my way to get it. If I open it in a pack, when it goes down in price at some point, I think it's an awesome card. Definitely worth checking out.
And this may come up later on down the list, but I feel like it's excusable to put in a new planeswalker into your wizard's cube because you want to show off. And planeswalkers are usually awesome.
And that happens to be a good one that people actually like playing.
Definitely. Yeah.
So number five, Reclamation Sage. Better. Stable. We're already running the Sex Monkeys. We're already running the Elf. Time to upgrade if you want. Time to play a third if you want. Time to take out Indrik Snot Howler if you want.
Run that card if I was only playing 180 cards.
Good card.
Yeah.
Versatile.
Yep.
And good on the curve. Anyway, keep going.
Yep.
What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Scuttle and Doom Engine. I've been playing it. I like it. It's not necessary. If you need another Tinker Target, it goes over walls. It goes over aggro decks. Good six drop.
We did talk about it, didn't we? No.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Last week we did, or last time.
Last time.
It's a cool card. I can see it being cut. I can see it being kept.
Exactly. Preference.
Yeah.
Some people run Triskelion. Some people can run Scuttling Doom Engine. I don't fault anyone. Yeah. Really good with Recurring Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Borderland Marauder. 3 power, 2 drops in red. Aggro likes that a lot.
Yeah.
Solid card. Not really splashable.
You can block.
Beats.
If you needed to.
Yeah, exactly. Does a lot of good things.
Yeah.
From what's coming out in cons, it seems like they're really pushing that spot, the 3-power, 2-mana, red 2-drop guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year it's not that good.
I'd like to have too many options and not enough.
Exactly. Yeah. But for now, play it.
Yep.
Sunblade Elf. If you're playing Lone Lion, I like it more than Lone Lion because usually you're going to have more planes than you are forests, so it's actually going to come up typically in the aggro deck. Most time you're splashing green in your aggro deck. It's good in the token deck.
The late game impact is something that aggro wants and needs. And
one toughness good. Over being able to do an anthem for 5 mana.
Yep.
2/2s for 2 are fine. Two 2/1 rather, excuse me.
Yep. Altak Bloodseeker. Not personally a fan, but if you have to put 12 cards into a cube from this new set, it's another 2-power, 2-mana guy.
Is it the last one?
Nope. I'm only on 9 right now. I got 3 more. Not the best card ever, but... And also, I think of it as a bad young pyromancer because it triggers on basically half the things that young pyromancer would trigger on, and the effect is only relevant half the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's always good to have tokens... It's only good in combat to use Altak Bloodseeker, but still, it's a fun card in limited that's not ridiculously terrible.
Yeah, I feel it's gonna be unpowered most of the time, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's just fine. I wouldn't run it, but I think it's better than what they're choosing.
Sure.
The new Ajani, I wouldn't run it over the other Ajani, but except for the green white one.
I even like that card.
I like the new Ajani because it's 4 mana, it's splashable, it does the Anthem effect, yeah. It helps on the Planeswalker. It's, yeah, they're both about average. It, once again, it's a new Planeswalker, ooh, shiny.
Yeah.
And
Planeswalkers are just good in general.
Yep.
I mean, what they do.
Off air, Sam and I were having a heated debate about the Jace, the Living Guild Pack one, because he's terrible. But I argue that as a Planeswalker, he's automatically better than a lot of other cards because he eats attacks and he can do stuff and etc., etc. Anyway, we got two more.
Yeah.
Soul of New Phyrexia. If you have to run a soul, this one is tinkerable. It has abilities that are semi-relevant.
What does it do?
6/6 trample, and then you can pay 5 and give all your... Either 5, 6, or 7, one of the, whatever, to give all your guys indestructible for the turn.
Yeah, but like that
6/6 trample.
I like that more than friggin' Jalira.
Yep.
Shitty fist.
And then lastly, Perilous Vault. Once again, not a card that's of the utmost power, but people were playing... What was the one that...
Perilous Vault? Was that one?
Perilous Vault exiles
Oblivion Stone.
It's basically your Oblivion Stone, your Nevernal's Disc. If you feel that your control decks aren't getting enough Wraths, good guy to throw in.
I think in a 720 you should definitely have room. I don't even think this cube runs like the Oblivion Stone and those type of cards either.
What about Engineered Explosives?
Probably not.
Disc?
I know it runs disc. I know it runs disc.
Play a little disc, bro.
Let's see. Engineer Explosives? Nope. Ice Ground Scepter? Oblivion Stone. It has Oblivion Stone in here.
Yeah. So if you're running Oblivion Stone, I think this is equally as good. Not equally as good, but differently as good.
It's another version.
It's another option if you want that. It's definitely not terrible.
Is this the one that draws key cards?
No.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the one...
I think you're thinking of Howling Mine.
I'm thinking of the one coming from the new set, the Ugin's... No.
Howling Mine.
Howling Mine? Is it the...
Is it
Ugin one mine? That costs 2 with a picture of the mine?
Ugin's Bones?
Ugin's Mine? Ugin's Howling Mine?
You're thinking of the one that stops Time Walks.
Mine? I think I'm thinking of Howling Mine.
Howling Mine, yeah.
Okay.
Is Howling Mine the one that you can exile all permanents in play?
Howling?
You sacrifice it and it exiles all permanents in play?
It's the one where it costs 5 and other players can't take extra turns, but if it dies, you can exile it and you can take extra turns. That's Howling Mine.
Oh, no, I think that's Felden's Cane.
That is Felton's
Cane. Oh, you're right. Okay.
All these colorless cards, I just can't keep them straight.
They all blend together in my head.
Yeah.
Well, so that's that. We did a list within a list. We talked about what we're going to do next time. Something positive. Hopefully.
We're just going to give each other compliments next time.
Yeah.
Cool. List of things we like about working with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Everything. Yeah. List is over.
It's a good list.
Podcast ever.
Depending on when our schedules line up, I'd like to get another one in before we do the review.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But we might not, so you might not see us again for a little while. You might, so...
I mean, you're not going to see us anyway, because the podcast, but...
Yeah. Hey. You might hear us coming, or you might, am I right?
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about finding us, because we'll find you.
Not an innuendo I meant to make.
Innuendo, again, no. Hey. I'm sorry. All right, is that it?
That's it.
All right.